requests information.
"You don't do things by half measures, do you, Lyrian?" Halcyon gasped with exasperation. "A thousand spiders?"
"That's a silver spider," Constantine exclaimed excitedly.
"Hey, if we killed more, do you think we'd get more money? Maybe we could just set the forest on fire."
"What is it with you and fire?" Caius yelled back. "And what on earth makes you think that's a good idea?"
"Just thinking out loud. Besides, are we even on Earth anymore?"
"I can't believe I need to say this," I sighed, rubbing my face. "No setting forest fires."
"But,"
Constantine started.
"We could—"
"No setting forest fires," I repeated myself slowly.
"Okay, okay," Constantine threw his hands up in defeat. "I'm just trying to save time, that's all."
"Right,"
Sierra rolled her eyes, voice full of sarcasm.
"We're gonna be here for a while. How hard are these spiders to kill?"
Halcyon asked, a slight tinge of nervousness to his voice.
"Eh, they should be easy enough to take out. We can probably pull them by the dozen easily. The trick is finding them."
I paused as a red highlight appeared in my vision.
"Ah, perfect. Time to learn another useful skill."
Chapter 15.
"Ah! Get it off! Get it off!"
Halcyon's voice shrilled as he wildly bucked about trying to dismount the webwood spiderling that had pounced on him from above. We'd spent the last 2 hours crawling through the webwood as I taught everyone the perception skill. Constantine, Drace, and Caius managed to pick up the skill fairly quickly, but for whatever reason, both Halcyon and Sierra were having a rather difficult time in learning the skill, so I sent the others to bring back a few critters to kill while I spent some more time training the pair. To be fair, I was having quite a bit of fun at their expense.
"Damn it, Lyrian, why?"
Sierra joined in shouting as she swung her sword, splitting another spiderling in two.
"You said these spiders were nothing to worry about. I'm never gonna sleep again."
I laughed as I tore the creature off Halcyon's back, crushing it under my boot.
"These things? Pah! They're barely worth our time. I'm hoping Constantine will find the bigger ones while we're out here."
"Bigger ones?"
Halcyon sounded on the verge of becoming unhinged as he attempted to dislodge himself from a web he'd gotten draped across his face.
"I hate spiders."
"Hey, are you okay? I thought you were okay with these sorts of things. Didn't you have a pet snake?"
"Snake?"
Halcyon coughed as he pulled a web out of his mouth.
"Snakes are not spiders. First of all, they are cute. They just want boops on the snout."
"Incoming!"
Constantine's voice shattered the relative silence of the forest, followed by the sound of running feet. I quickly felt the other half of the party sprinting towards us.
"Oh, fuck,"
I heard Sierra gasp.
"Did they just pull the entire fucking forest?"
I cocked my head towards the noise. "Sure sounds like it."
"Lear, you're being an ass."
"Well, I have to get you scrubs to my level quickly." I couldn't help but smirk at their distress. "This seemed like the best and fastest way." Caius, Constantine, and Drace finally broke into view, sprinting wildly towards us, with a veritable horde of spiderlings in tow.
"Oh, fuck you, Lyrian!"
Sierra had drawn her bow and started firing arrows into the horde.
"If we live through this, I am going to kill you!"
Winded, the other half of the party arrived ahead of the swarm.
"I think we overdid it,"
Caius gasped as he spun to face the swarm.
"No shit!"
Halcyon hissed as he started to conjure and throw glowing missiles into the swarm.
"Aren't you gonna draw your sword?"
Sierra shouted at me.
"Nah, I've been meaning to work on my hand-to-hand." I shrugged the question away as I cracked my knuckles. "Seems like the best time for it."
"Really?"
The spiderling swarm slammed into Drace, sending him back half a step before a vicious cleave cleared the ground in front of him. Stepping up beside him, Caius streamed a steady cone of fire as he set fire to anything crossing his gaze. I heard Constantine swear, but before I could turn to see what was happening, the swarm was on me. I dodged and weaved around the spiderlings that attacked me, having already had plenty of experience fighting the creatures. My fists shattered the carapace of a spiderling that was unlucky enough to come within range, quickly followed by a vicious kick that stomped the creature into the ground. A quick flare singed a spider attempting to flank Constantine, while another was enough to kill a mortally wounded one threatening Caius.
"Heads up!" Constantine shouted. "We've got big ones coming!"
I barely had enough time to register Constantine's warning before a giant webwood spider trampled Drace, knocking him to the ground. A second giant spider came charging behind the first, straight at Constantine and Halcyon. Sierra quickly launched two arrows that sunk deep into the creature before a thick strand of web hit her shoulder.
"Sierra!"
My hand shot out reflexively, grabbing the sticky web. My eyes quickly following the strand revealed a third giant spider attacking from behind, having used the chaos of battle to flank us and catch us unaware. With a twist of its body, the spider yanked the web, yanking both Sierra and me off our feet as it struggled to pull us closer. Hands stuck to the sticky strand, I fumbled to draw razor as we were dragged across the ground, but couldn't reach the blade at my hip.
"Ah! What's happening?"
Sierra thrashed, trying to dislodge herself from the web.
"Hold on!"
I shouted as I conjured a flare in my trapped hand, the tiny fireball immediately beginning to burn through the web. A strong yank from the spider caused the strand to snap, leaving Sierra and me in a pile on the forest floor. I barely had a moment to collect myself before I heard the spider growl in frustration. "Oh, shit," I cursed to myself. The situation was rapidly getting out of hand.
"Get up!"
I shouted at the stunned form of Sierra. I knew what that growl meant.
"Move! It's gonna jump!"
"What?"
Sierra shouted, her head staring at the giant arachnid. I barely had enough time to shove Sierra off me before the giant spider leaped onto me, pinning me to the ground. A fang pierced my shoulder as it landed, with a trio of claws, fortunately, being stopped by my armor as it attempted to disembowel me. I viciously kicked up at the spider, landing a pair of punishing blows on its thorax while my hand grabbed and crushed a claw-tipped pedipalp in a spray of gore. Howling, the spider bore down onto the one fang still stuck deep in my shoulder, causing me to scream in pain as my health bar shrank quickly. A sword flashed inches away from my face, slicing through the fang pinning me and the nearby leg. Sierra, wielding the long sword in both hands, swept the blade in an arc, gashing the creature along its maw and obliterating a set of eyes in its passage. I hammered the stunned beast with another kick and managed to get my legs between myself and the spider, heaving with all my might as I attempted to force the creature off me.
"Sierra, kill it!"
I bellowed as I struggled to keep it at bay.
"I can't hold this!"
Screaming wordlessly, Sierra lunged forward with her blade, stabbing deep into the spider's head. The sword pierced through the carapace as Sierra forced it right up to the hilt, ichor streaming freely from around the blade. With a gurgling whimper, the giant spider went limp on top of me and began to twitch wildly, forcing me to clumsily kick the dying carcass off to one side. Grabbing the blade and wrenching it free, I held the blade out to Sierra, who was staring at the now-still giant spider in shock.
"Thanks."
I handed her the sword, while wincing at the giant fang still embedded in my shoulder.
"Let's get back into the fray."
Sierra looked at me blankly for a moment before the words reached her.
"Lyrian."
Without warning, a blue football-sized missile struck Sierra in the back, sending her sprawling to the ground. Flinching, I barely dodged a second, smaller missile as I scrambled to find the source of the attack. A third missile flew from a nearby bush, and immediately my perception skill kicked in, highlighting a hiding creature. The missile grazed my already wounded shoulder, sending a searing pain through it. A Webwood Aberration's arcane missile grazes you for 26 damage. Gritting my teeth through the pain, I broke into a sprint towards the creature, finally drawing Razor as I ran. I tore through the bush, sweeping Razor in a wide arc to catch the hiding beast. I felt the tip of the blade catch on something, followed by a hissing scream. Shoving myself through the bush, I gasped as I finally saw the aberration. It looked like a grotesquely mutated spiderling, hairless and covered in eerie glowing boils. No leg was the same size or length, and it was covered in far too many eyes, at least a dozen more than even a spider should have. It was almost as if this creature was mutated due to radiation exposure. Continuing to hiss at me, the boils on the creature flared a bright blue as its pedipalps traced a pattern in the air. A heartbeat later, another blue missile hit me directly in the chest.
Ah!
I screamed as the missile tore through my armor as if it wasn't even there, sending my health to dangerous levels. It was all I could do to stand on my feet as I fought through the pain. My heartbeat hammering in my ears, I desperately swept Razor at the aberration's oversized legs, severing a pair of them. With a wail of pain, the creature bounded away from me, its unusual shape and size making it difficult to land a follow-up blow on. Oozing a pale blue stream from the wound, the aberration's boils dimmed slightly as I chased it, not letting up. The boils flared once more as the creature turned to fight. Eager to end the fight, I closed in on the creature, feinting with Razor, then suddenly lunging, stomping on a misshapen leg to keep it from escaping. The aberration flared even brighter as it struggled to tear its leg free and began to emit a keening cry. I slashed down into the creature, coating Razor in bright blue ichor as I carved the misshapen beast to pieces. With a final thrust, deep into a glowing boil, I put the creature out of its misery. Only to have the spider erupt in a spray of glow gore. Without warning, I was thrown to the ground with a wet burst of glowing ichor covering me, my skin burning unbelievably wherever it touched. I felt what little health I had remaining slowly ebb away.
Fuck! I need help!
I muttered to myself, wincing through the pain. I could barely see a sliver of health in the corner of my display.
What sort of spider casts spells?
I let out a gasp as I attempted to sit up, my head starting to spin. I tried to wipe as much of the glowing ichor off me as I could with my good arm, the other still having a wicked fang embedded deep inside. A rustling noise nearby caught my attention, causing me to turn my head.
Sierra!
A pair of green cat eyes regarded me with curiosity, sniffing the air. Recognition dawned in the creature's eyes.
Oh, shit.
My hand groped the ground for Razor, but I was too slow. The puma leaped at me with a growl, teeth gleaming, claws outstretched. Then, I died.
Loading. Please wait.
Interlude. Purgatory. Creativity watched the grand tapestry silently, her senses fully outstretched. Billions of threads slowly wove themselves into place, guided by countless golden threads, her agents, or as the mortals called them, gods. A gray, decaying thread caught her eye.
Poor thing. Missed again.
With a gesture, she pulled the thread from the tapestry, pruning the now defunct story arc. Cradling the thread like a tender child in need of soothing, she gently caressed it while cooing softly. The thread quivered under its mother's touch, and slowly color returned to it until it shone a bright and vibrant violet. Satisfied, creativity turned to regard her grand work, reading each individual strand with infinite care.
Perhaps this would be a better place for you this time.
She wove the now brilliant thread high into the tapestry, where it would have the greatest chance to touch an active thread. Creativity paused as she considered the potential of the reborn thread. She was reluctant to meddle and get lost in the minutiae of her design, but what mother did not wish the best for her children? With a gentle tug, she pulled free a single translucent hair from her head and attached it to the base of the violet thread. She then drew the hair around a number of copper-colored threads, before finally anchoring it to a silver one. It still wasn't certain that the thread would be touched, yet now its potential was greater than ever before. Creativity lovingly ran her finger down the silver strand, the color representing adventurers with the greatest potential to affect the world. Her fingers touched an unexpected knot.
Oh no,
she gasped in surprise as she turned her full attention towards the unexpected presence. A black thread had intercrossed with the silver one, and now began to weave itself tightly around it. No other threads would be able to attach for as long as the pair were intertwined.
Do you like my work, sister?
Discordance rang through Creativity's mind as an intruder slithered into her domain.
Destruction!
Creativity snapped as she turned her attention from the tapestry.
What have you done?
Right to business already?
Destruction spoke with a laugh akin to the sound of shattering glass.
Aren't you happy to see me, sister?
You are not allowed to touch the tapestry. You meddle outside your purview.
I think not, sister. Death and destruction are entirely within my rights, be it by hand or by weave.
Destruction laughed as she motioned to the black thread.
Perhaps you are angry. My pawn bested one of yours.
You have loosed a nemesis. It is far too early in the weave for that,
Creativity hissed as she moved to block Destruction from seeing the tapestry.
You could tear everything apart.
Ah, but that is exactly what I want to do.
Destruction fixed her predatory gaze on Creativity.
I find your orderly vision sickening. You stifle all that you touch, forcing it to follow your rules. With my touch, I merely set them free to be as they truly are.
Your actions skew the balance,
Creativity shouted.
You have gone too far.
And if I have?
Destruction waved a hand dismissively.
You cannot stop me from carrying out my duties, Creativity. You need me for your existence to have meaning. I am the death to your life, chaos to your order. Without me, you are nothing. But on the other hand,
Destruction's voice grew darker.
Without you, I am everything.
I tire of this, Destruction. I must undo your poison before it spreads.
Creativity advanced towards Destruction, anger burning in her eyes.
Leave!
Of course, sister. All you had to do was ask.
Destruction's gaze went to the tapestry.
It seems to me that you are about to become quite busy.
What?
Creativity whirled as she looked back at her work in terror.
What have you done?
Black threads now sprouted in the thousands, weaving like poisonous vines through the grand tapestry, strangling all that they touched. Countless dozens of copper threads, mere adventurers of little note, now shone blood red as they embarked on a path of discord, leaving hundreds of threads pale as they fought and killed with little reason. As Creativity watched the tapestry reshape itself, a massive black thread arose from the mass, snaking itself around a golden thread. The golden thread trembled for a split instant, before succumbing and beginning to fade.
No!
Creativity's eyes flowed with tears as she rushed to salvage what she could. Destruction laughed.
Goodbye, for now, sister.
Chapter 16. Somewhere. I found myself soaring over a vast field of broken bones, stretching as far as the eye could see. Infinite shades of gray coated the land, leaving it devoid of a single sign of life. A seeping, pervasive cold crept over me as a massive black sun rose in the distance.
Dead?
I struggled to form even the simplest thought as the corrupted star tore the light of life from me. I lost track of time as I flew over the horizon, drawn toward something in the endless field of bones. In the distance, I began to see something massive. As the distance diminished, I slowly began to realize that it was moving, that it was alive. Colossal, beyond scale, I witnessed a massive, eight-armed creature claw the ground as it picked up bones by the hundreds, heaping them into a pile. Building something? I struggled to form the thought in my death-addled mind as I noticed a growing square being cleared of bones. As if hearing my thoughts, the colossus halted in its work and turned its body to the sky, an impossibly pale eye fixed on me.
Begone!
The mental voice shattered what little control I had over myself, rending my shade to pieces. My mind spiraled into darkness. Oldford. I awoke in a fit of terror, my mind trying to make sense of what I'd just experienced, only to find myself standing just outside the town hall in Oldford, with the sun beating down on me. I'd been dead for less than a minute.
Ugh!
My heart hammered in my chest as I rubbed my eyes, trying to come to terms with my death and the disjointed vision I'd just experienced.
What the hell was that? Where was that?
A few deep breaths helped settle me down, and within a minute the experience was beginning to fade into a distant memory. I tried to focus on the rest of the party, but all I could sense was their general direction, towards where I knew Crater Lake to be. If they died, they'd show up here with me. When I finally opened my eyes, several alerts hung in my vision.
You have died at the hands of your nemesis. As a badge of your failure, you will bear the scars of your death wound. As a result of your death, the nemesis grows in skill and power. Beware. Your spirit feels weakened after your death. Due to being under level 10, you do not experience any additional death penalty.
I pulled a glove off and touched my face, recalling my last moments of life before the puma pounced onto me. My fingers found a thick line of scar tissue crossing the left side of my mouth, followed by another line on the right side of my forehead.
Oh, Lyrian!
The Bond's voice interrupted my thoughts.
You're back already. Where are your companions?
They're still out there. I turned to face the Bond as I spoke. I died, unfortunately. The Bond's eyebrows shot up as he glanced over my new scars.
Ah, unfortunate indeed. The adventurous curse, as I call it. Though I am more than happy to have you still among the living.
Right now, I'm not sure if I feel the same way.
Are you going to head back out again?
Aldwyn asked, indicating in the direction of the gate with a nod. I mulled over the Bond's question, trying to evaluate how it was I felt. Compared to my last moments, I felt hale and full of energy. A quick glance showed me I still had my equipment as well. I just felt off, as if my very spirit had stretched thin. No, I think I'll be staying in for the rest of the day, and wait for my friends to return. The Bond nodded, though after seeing my downcast expression, he frowned.
There is no sense in brooding. Come, we will spar, then.
I'm not sure if I'm up for that, I hedged, not feeling particularly enthusiastic about the idea. All I wanted to do at the moment was sit and collect myself.
Nonsense! The Bond waved my complaints away. The best way to get over death sickness is to either get under someone or to get your blood up and shake off the cobwebs. I'm sure you've noticed the village is a bit sparse, regardless of preference for the former.
Hmm? What? I coughed at the Bond's lewd suggestion, quickly realizing he was doing his best to get me out of my funk. I suppose a little bit of sparring would help me get my mind off dying.
Good. The last thing the villagers need to see is you moping around like you just found a bag of drowned kittens.
Aldwyn laughed as he led me towards the yard set aside for militia practice.
They'd probably take to the hills, to be honest. Your presence is more soothing to them than you may realize.
Is it? I paused, thinking over the last few days. Had I not spawned here during the goblin attack, a good portion of the villagers would have surely been kidnapped, not to mention providing food for everyone after the attack.
Enough wool gathering,
the Bond said as we arrived to the bare patch of dirt that was the drill yard.
Let's see what you've learned out there.
The Bond stalked across the field, pulling his hand axe free from his belt loop.
We will fight until one submits. Don't hold your blows, either. We'll call Shelia over to heal us between bouts.
Fixing me with an eager smile, Aldwyn spread his arms out wide.
Come at me, adventurer.
Bon Aldwyn has challenged you to a duel. Are you sure? I hedged, still feeling the lethargy of death hanging over me.
I don't... Lyrian! On this field, I am Sir Frederick Aldwyn, Knight of Iberia.
The Bond's calm and friendly persona had vanished as if a switch was flicked.
When I give an order on this field, I expect it to be obeyed. If you don't attack me this instant, I'm going to cut your arm off and use it to beat you back to death.
A knight?
Lyrian?
Not waiting for the Bond to follow through on his threat, I instantly broke into a charge, drawing razor in stride. I slashed out upwards, looking to split Sir Frederick from hip to shoulder, but before I could even get razor fully drawn, he darted forward shoulder first, using his body to block my draw. His body check completely negated my charge, sending me sprawling to the ground.
Come on, Lyrian!
He yelled at me as he slashed downward with his axe.
My senile mother would have seen that coming. It's no wonder to me why you died.
Instinct had me urgently rolling to the side as I slammed into the ground, saving me from the axe that would have ended up in my chest. The swing had enough strength behind it to bury itself into the dirt right up to the shaft.
Shit! He isn't fooling around. That could have killed me.
I kicked out at the back of the Bond's knee and was rewarded with a meaty thump as he lost his balance, going down to one knee. I rolled to my feet, barely missing a slash as he tore the axe from the ground in a spray of dirt. As I leaped away to build space between us, I felt the specter of death hanging over me, sapping my strength and slowing my movements. Nothing was as easy or fast as it should have been.
That's more like it!
Aldwyn roared as he launched himself at me. Fighting through the lethargy, I quickly drew razor, parrying a handful of probing attacks as the Bond closed in, sweeping his hand axe in short and controlled arcs as he attempted to close the gap between us. He wielded the hand axe like a smith wielding a hammer. Short but punishing swings forced me to constantly backpedal as he attempted to overpower my defenses with brute force.
He's even stronger than he looks.
I winced as fervent parries sent jarring quakes of pain up my arm. We were evenly matched with speed, but with the Bond's greater strength and the skill he wielded his axe with, he was a world beyond me.
Time to do something reckless.
I stopped backpedaling under the Bond's furious assault and retaliated with a flurry of blows as I closed the gap. Aldwyn easily knocked my attacks aside, but was surprised as I stepped forward with a vicious elbow across the jaw. The effort cost me a wicked chop across the knee, even as Razor nicked the inside of the Bond's arm. Before I could even begin to celebrate landing a blow, I found myself sliding across the ground, propelled by a wicked kick that caught me in the chest. For the second time in the fight, I gasped for air as I got my feet under me and forced myself to stand, only to wince in pain as the wound on my knee made it impossible.
Do you submit?
The Bond slurred through a cracked lip as he cradled his right arm against his chest to stem the flow of blood.
I
winced again as I tried to stand up. My knee was in definite trouble.
I submit.
Bond Aldwyn was victorious in your duel. Your skill in swords has increased to level 6.
Good fight,
Aldwyn grunted as he knelt down beside me.
You have the speed and strength to compete. However, your blade skill is sorely lacking. You wield your sword like a club.
I nodded as I absorbed a new inflow of knowledge the new skill level brought. He was right. I might be level 9, but my weapon skills had been left far behind. Ever since I found Razor, I've had to worry less about my actual skill in combat, and focused more on just swinging the sharp end of the blade around. Despite the death sickness and trouncing at the Bond's hand, I was thrilled that skills could improve through dueling. It sure beat having to run out into the wild and senselessly murder creatures until I reached a certain skill level. Summoning my character sheet with a mental command, I double-checked how many skills were progressing. I have quite a bit to learn. Skills. Evocation. Level 5, 34%. Increases knowledge of evocation magic and improves related abilities. Unarmed combat, level 4, 11%. Increases knowledge of hand-to-hand fighting and improves related abilities. Stealth, level 2, 14%. Decreases chance of being detected while attempting to stay hidden. Improves related abilities. Swords, level 6, 2%.
increases knowledge of sword fighting and improves related abilities. Wordplay, level 1, 15%. Increases chance to persuade others, resolve differences, and or get information. Perception, level 3, 35%. You are skilled in spotting hidden creatures and places. Depending on your skill level, hidden creatures and places will be highlighted in red. I noticed I made small improvements in both evocation and unarmed combat, likely during the fight with the spiders before I had died. I also remembered that in order to qualify for my spell sword class, I had to reach level 9 in both swords and evocation.
Indeed, Alduin waved at a figure in the distance. Here comes Shelia now. Ready for another?
A wooden shaft slammed into the side of my face, filling my mouth with blood as I desperately brought up my wooden sword to block the blows following behind it. I knocked two shafts out of the way while sidestepping a third.
Hit! The Bond shouted. We start again at 4 minutes!
I let out a roar of frustration as I parried the endless avalanche of attacks directed at me. The Bond was an evil man, born from the blackest pits of hell, spawned from the union of pain and despair. I swore if he and the devil crossed paths, the devil would give him the right of way.
Focus, Lyrian!
Alduin called from the side of the field as he ran a whetstone along Razor's Edge, having traded it for a weighted training blade.
Unless you'd rather take another turn with me.
Gone was the witty, quiet leader who offered to take my mind off of death sickness with friendly sparring. In his place stood a knight, intent on honing my broken, sweat-covered body with the calm patience of a blacksmith sharpening a rusty knife. The only solace I took at this moment was that I wasn't the only target of his wrath, if only indirectly. Four of Aldford's guards, two-thirds of the village militia, had been summoned from their duty to aid me in training. At the moment, Lauren, Loan, Caleb, and Wallace were armed with blunted spears, doing their best to hit me as hard and often as they could. I didn't even have the luxury of my armor to fall back on, the knight having insisted that I fight bare-chested.
If only I hadn't opened my fat mouth, I berated myself as I blocked a swing from Wallace and stepped past him, using his body to block the others from having a clear view of me.
An eternity ago, after a pair of lost duels at the Bond's hand, I had foolishly asked, "Couldn't you have killed all the goblins yourself during the attack?" Without missing a beat, the Bond fully agreed that he probably could have. He then asked Shelia to call over the day shift's militia members.
"Killing the goblins wasn't my concern. Protecting every villager near me was."
Knight Alduin looked at me carefully.
"What is more important to you, Lyrian? Is it killing your enemies, or is it protecting those dearest to you? Take it from an old man who wishes he'd learned that lesson early in life. If you try to do both, you will fail."
It may have been my imagination at the time, but I swore I saw a ghost cross Alduin's face as he spoke. He then ordered the militia to attack me, with the stipulation that I wasn't allowed to attack back until I had survived 4 consecutive minutes without them landing a hit on me. So far, even after the death sickness faded away, I had failed a total of 26 times.
Thwack!
27 times.
Ugh!
I sucked in a deep lungful of air as I shook the stinging pain out of my arm.
Damn it!
I leaped away as the Bond restarted the count once again, backing to the very edge of the practice field. Instinctively, the two younger militia members, Lauren and Loan, followed. They had been among the villagers surprised by the goblins during the raid, and nearly kidnapped to parts unknown. They burned for a chance to prove their worth and redeem themselves, if only in their own eyes. They rushed in, attacking without any coordination. First in line, Lauren stabbed out with his spear, looking to catch me high in the chest. Anticipating the attack, I shifted to the side, letting the thrust pass harmlessly beside me, and feinted upward. Loan, a step behind, twirled his spear and swung it horizontally like a staff as he attempted to keep me from escaping the corner.
I may not be able to hit them. I planted my foot and leaped backward. Thwack! Ah!
I'm sorry!
But they can hit each other. Lowen's wild blow caught Lauren full in the side, bending the man double from the unexpected blow.
Fair play!
Aldwyn shouted, a faint frown showing on his face.
Always control your weapon!
Seizing the distraction, I dashed past the two militiamen, slapping the spear from Lowen's hand as I passed, kicking it behind me. Wiser than the younger pair, Wallace and Caleb had taken the time to form up together, shoulder to shoulder, and attacked with coordinated thrusts, one high, the other low. I was forced to give ground under their relentless advance, unable to parry both spears simultaneously. As my feet found the edge of the practice field once again, I conjured a flare in my hand, whipping it at the ground in front of the more experienced militiamen. The flare burst with an unexpected snap, causing both of them to flinch. My sword swept out at Caleb's outstretched spear, smashing into it with all the fury I could muster, causing it to fly from his hands and off the field.
You are disarmed!
The bond shout halted Caleb's instinctive reaction to chase his weapon.
Fight!
At that moment, Lowen chose to rejoin the bout. He charged in from my flank, leading with a powerful thrust that was sure to pierce straight through me, blunt edge or not. At the same time, Wallace lunged, sending a weak thrust towards my ribs. Desperately, I reached out, grabbing Wallace's spear and tugged it, pulling it in line with Lowen's charge. With my sword, I chopped down at Lowen's thrust, redirecting it downwards, causing it to bury itself into the ground so that it trapped Wallace's spear. Before either man could react, I stomped on the two intercrossed spears, jamming my boot in place and preventing either Lowen or Wallace from pulling free their weapon. A quick glance showed Lauren crouched in pain, clutching at the ribs on his side, with Shelia already kneeling beside him. I hefted my blade, ready to threaten any advance by Caleb.
Hold!
Aldwyn shouted, disgust evident in his voice.
That's enough! It seems my militia is more dangerous to one another rather than to the enemy. Take a break, you lot need it.
I heaved as I stepped off the spears and fell to the ground, gasping for air.
It's finally over. I think I'm gonna die. Again. Here I thought I exercised hard in real life.
Lyrian! What the hell are you doing?
Sir Frederick Aldwyn's voice rang out.
The rest break is for them, not you. Get up!
I liked him better before I knew he was a knight. Chapter 17 The Webwood, Nemesis. The transition from sentience to sapience was one filled with fear and confusion. Bloody paws tracked through the dark forest, eyes and ears ever alert for threats. The many-legged ones ruled the dark forest. It was an interloper here, and knew danger could come from any direction. If not from the many-legged, then from the two-legged. It knew there was a chance the other two legs could come searching soon, so it hurried deeper into the woods in search of safety. It had been compelled to find a specific two-leg, somehow knowing the two-leg would be in the dark forest. It was easy prey to stalk, stampeding through the dark forest with other two legs, no regard for stealth. It waited patiently, watching as the two legs hunted the many legs, biding its time until it could strike without fear. Now the two legs' blood covered its maw, and the mysterious compulsion was sated. It was eager to leave the dark forest and return to the ridge.
Why?
The alien thought caused it to freeze mid-stride, ears straining to hear where it came from. Had the two legs followed it?
What?
It quickly dropped to all fours, heart racing as it pressed itself down into the ground. It didn't hear anything, but it could hear something.
How?
Instinct warred with the birth of new thoughts that it had no reference for, sending it into a panic. With a yowl of fear, it took off, sprinting wildly through the woods as it tried to outrun its own mind.
Where am I?
Oldford. The evening found me slumped over a table inside the town hall, holding my head, with my face hovering inches away from a steaming webwood casserole Ragna had prepared for me. I breathed deeply, taking in the ever-so-slight minty aroma, mixed with a hint of venom-infused spider meat that had my mouth watering. For the last minute I'd been carefully working up the focus to pick up my fork to begin the meal. My head felt like it was ready to explode. I sighed as I finally summoned enough energy to lean back in my bench and grab my utensil. I scooped a portion of the dish and took a bite. Instantly, the venom set fire to my mouth as I methodically chewed the meal. It was the best meal I'd ever tasted. I looked down at the meal in surprise, forgetting the pain in my head, for a moment wondering how I even managed to arrive at the hall. The Bon had been relentless in his sparring, only pausing long enough between duels for Shelia to cast a healing spell on the two of us. I scooped another bite into my mouth, savoring the flavor. Between his axe and the militiamen's spears, I had been pummeled for nearly 9 hours straight. If I hadn't frozen after that skill increase, I'd probably still be out there. I closed my eyes as my head still struggled to make sense of all the information that had been loaded into it today. Under the Bond's punishing tutelage, I had reached level 10 in swords, level 7 in unarmed combat, and level 7 in evocation, once he allowed no-holds-barred dueling. When I hit my last skill up in swords at level 10, it was as if an ice pick stabbed itself through my forehead, instantly forming a massive migraine as my brain attempted to assimilate the newest level of skill. It caused me to freeze mid-duel with Aldwyn, who thankfully managed to pull a vicious blow directed at my head in time. Otherwise, I'd likely be sitting at this table with another round of death sickness and an even worse migraine.
"Looks like you surpassed your limit for the day," was all the knight said, looking at me with approval. "Go get some rest."
Truthfully, I wasn't sure if the migraine was because I learned too many skills in a day, or because I had leveled a combat skills level past my class level. Possibly a combination of both. The Bon had essentially power-leveled my skills through non-stop training over the course of a day. Maybe there's a limit for taught skills. It would easily trivialize the game if higher-level players could infinitely teach lower-level players. At some point, after all, you just had to go into the wild and get first-hand experience. My fork scraped the bottom of the plate, and at the same moment the party walked in.
"Lirian!"
Caius was the first to call out as the group rushed over.
"Oh, what happened?"
"What did you do to your face?"
Halcyon gasped as he saw my new scars. "It's been a long day," I began as the others quickly grabbed seats at the table.
"Lirian."
Sierra's eyes were fixated on my scars.
"I'm sorry, I froze,
I shook my head, waving her off. "It's okay, Sierra. I threw you all into the fire today to see how you'd handle it. If anything, I should be the one apologizing."
"But your face."
"Besides, dying isn't so bad," I shrugged, deciding to keep the odd vision to myself for now. "You just feel like crap for an hour, then it sort of fades away."
"I'm glad you're okay. I didn't know what to expect after we found you."
I smiled at Sierra and to the rest of the group. "So what happened after I died? The fight go well? Did you see any more of those webwood aberrations?" The party shook their heads as they looked at Drace to speak.
"It was touch and go with the horde Constantine pulled. The larger spiders were a pain to deal with and they nearly killed us. But we managed to pull through without seeing any more aberrations."
Conversation paused as everyone relived their piece of the fight.
"After the fight, we noticed you weren't with us, and we realized we couldn't sense you nearby. We looked around and found your body, covered in strange glowing goop."
Trace motioned to Sierra, who pulled something from her inventory.
"This was all I found in a loot sack near your body."
She handed me a blue glowing vial in her hand, eyes going to my scars once more.
"What happened to you? It looked like something had mauled you."
"Yeah," I nodded as I began to explain my side of events, describing my brief fight with the aberration and its spellcasting abilities, finishing off with the nemesis's attack, Despite it attacking Sierra, no one had seen the creature or came across another one during the day's hunt. As I spoke, I looked down at the vial in my hand, a tag in my vision identifying it as Strange Glowing Ichor, ×5. I pocketed it for later investigation.
Your body just dissolved a moment after we found it,
Sierra shrugged as she made an exploding motion with her hands. A moment after that, we sensed you again in the direction of Aldford.
After that, it took us a bit of time to rest up. Then we decided to continue hunting like we agreed earlier, much more carefully, though.
Trace glanced over at Constantine as he continued to outline their day.
Long story short, we're all level 9 now.
That's great. I beamed at everyone, ecstatic that they were able to progress without me.
Lear. Trace looked at me intently. Do you think that this nemesis of yours will be a problem?
I'm not sure. I frowned as I considered the warrior's question. It caught me inches away from dying today, so I have no idea how strong it really was. And my death supposedly made it even stronger. Maybe? Trace exhaled as he collected his thoughts.
I think we should focus on getting our base classes as soon as possible then.
Yeah, definitely, Halcyon agreed. I think it's a good idea too, but we also have another thing to consider. I spoke quietly as I rubbed my temples, trying to banish the still present migraine.
Aldford itself.
What about Aldford? Sierra asked, but frowned as she saw me rubbing my head.
Wait, are you okay?
Ugh, sort of. I winced as the pain in my head flared. I had a bit of a development with the bond today. I gave everyone the highlights of my day after resurrecting in Aldford. Everything from the moment that the bond revealed himself as a knight of Iberia to the brutal training that he put the militia and myself through.
And now it feels like the morning after an entire bottle of vodka.
I finished with a sigh, after explaining my theory on training limits.
Huh. A knight, Constantine mused. Makes sense, I suppose. They wouldn't hand out land to just commoners.
Not poor commoners, at any rate,
Caius added.
Good to know about training limits, though.
I wonder why he doesn't have more retainers, though, Halcyon commented. Don't knights usually have big familial houses that support them?
Maybe he earned his title during the war, Sierra replied. Have to start from somewhere.
Could be.
I can't imagine how hard it'll be to hit the limit as time goes on, Dre said, moving away from the topic of the bond's knighthood. Skills are easy enough to level right now. It's bound to slow down the higher they get.
That's true, I nodded in agreement.
So what did you mean about Aldford? Sierra asked.
We need to decide if we're going to put roots down here in Aldford, or find somewhere else to go. I began taking a deep breath. And if we do stay, it'll mean work.
You want to leave?
The table groaned as Drace leaned to rest his massive bulk on it.
There isn't anywhere else to go, short of going back to Iberia or an aimless trek through the wild. What's on your mind?
The coming adventurers, I said with a sigh. I hadn't really given it much thought until today. Well, just now, actually, after training with a militia.
You're afraid they're going to try and take the village when they get here.
Following my train of thought, Constantine had reached the same conclusion. This village is somewhat defensible, thanks to the river surrounding it, I continued with a nod at him.
But we have, what, a total of 20 NPCs, with maybe 9 capable of combat?
That'd be a tempting target for any group, not to mention that the stone gate is a wreck. Allowing anyone to just wander over that tiny bridge, and the northern part of the village is completely open.
So what do you want to do?
Sierra asked, while everyone else looked at me.
I was actually going to ask you all the same thing.
I made eye contact with everyone, one at a time.
If we stay, I have a plan of what I'd like to do, but we're going to have to work hard to start building up the village defenses, and prepare for when other adventurers start coming.
Not to mention we still have raiding goblins in the area, a missing expedition to find, unknown ruins, and a forest full of spiders to deal with.
I know we all jumped at the chance to play together,
but I'm not going to pull you all down a road that you all don't want to get into. Everyone looked at me incredulously for a moment, before they burst out laughing.
Lyrian, we scaled half of a mountain and clawed our way through the wild to get here,
Trace scolded me.
If we didn't want to get involved in any of that, we'd have told you before we left Iberia.
Yeah, shit. Do you even hear what you're saying? Constantine added.
Here we have the chance to get in on the development of the only settlement in the area. Plus, you seem to have a lock on four different story arcs. Like hell we'd give that up just because it's going to be hard.
I think you have our answer, Lear,
Sierra said, followed by nods from Halcyon and Caius.
We're with you in whatever you have planned.
I'm happy to hear that. I couldn't help but smile at their words and the trust they put in me. There's a hell of a lot I want to do, too, and I'm going to be leaning on y'all pretty hard. Despite the promise of hard work, everyone looked visibly excited. Sierra spoke eagerly.
So, what's the plan?
Chapter 18 Thursday, February 7th, 2047, 6:06 a.m., Aldford. Good morning, adventurers. Due to numerous complaints, we would like to remind all players that Ascend Online is designed to be a social and dynamic experience. If you find yourself on a difficult story arc and can't accomplish it by yourself, try partnering up or forming a group. Happy hunting, CTI Development Team. The next morning, we woke up with the speed of a lightning bolt, barely able to contain our excitement for the day to come. By the time the sun began to peek over the distant horizon, we had eaten and were standing on the practice field with weapons in hand. The first step of my plan was to admit to the party that I was wrong with my approach yesterday. As soon as they arrived, I had fallen back into the traditional MMORPG approach. Go forth and kill. While a reasonably effective tactic in itself, there was a massive difference between sitting at a keyboard and playing a game as opposed to actually living a game. Just as there was a difference between fighting together and fighting together. It had taken a lot of thought and a full night's sleep for the revelation to properly crystallize, but when I awoke in the morning, I understood the subtle message the Bon was trying to tell me when he pitted me against the militia yesterday. This is not a world where you can stand alone. I thought back to our battle in the Webwood. Sure, we fought competently, but we fought also independently, concerned only for our tiny sliver of the overall battle. Today, I want to start working on how to fight as a team. I knew it wasn't going to be something that happened overnight, no matter how hard we trained. It would be a slow and subtle process, one reinforced with constant training every single day. However, with the way our first training session was going so far, all I hoped for at the moment was that the six of us would reach a point where we weren't in active danger to one another.
Ah, my nose!
I winced, completely bent over as I reflexively clenched my shattered septum, eyes watering.
Not your fault, Drace.
Being the three frontline melee fighters, Drace, Constantine, and I had been working together on how to form an efficient battle line, one that wouldn't interfere with any of our individual styles, but also allow us to support and protect one another. Drace's massive size and reach, however, made it difficult to judge where my support should start or end, resulting in an inadvertent elbow to my face on his backswing. As I spat a mouthful of blood out, I silently envied Constantine's choice to be on Drace's shield side.
Funny how they never show the heroes in stories getting cold-cocked by a training accident. Shit, Lear! I didn't realize you were so close!
Drace apologized profusely. I shook my head as I exhaled through my mouth, already feeling the cartilage rearranging itself as I healed the damage.
Sure. You're not supposed to. I'm still getting used to your swing with a mace.
Adding on to the difficulty of judging Drace's reach were the subtle and not-so-subtle differences between attacking with a sword, mace, or spear. I wanted us to be ready to switch weapons at a moment's notice if we fought a creature resistant to a type of damage. Not to mention that Drace's base class requirements to become a warrior required that he at least have three weapon skills at level 7.
After an hour of practice, slip-ups, and a handful of minor injuries, I added Sierra, Halcyon, and Caius into the equation. They had spent the morning carefully watching our quirks, stances, and positioning as we drilled together. Now their job as ranged combatants was to find holes to shoot through.
1, 2, 3, step and fire,
Sierra called out the cadence as we ran through a drill at quarter of combat speed. Constantine Drace and I slowly attacked our imaginary enemies, and on Sierra's cue took a single step away from Drace. An arrow whizzed by the spot I just vacated, followed by two magical bolts in Constantine's. The second the ranged attacks passed by Drace, he sent his weapon in a wicked cleave, clearing the ground in front of him, followed by Constantine and I quickly collapsing back into line with him. Ideally, if we could successfully execute similar drills in combat, we could quickly devastate a line of enemies while keeping one another safe from counterattacks.
Good, I called. Again!
As before, there were mistakes and slip-ups as we trained, but before long we were able to run through the drill at nearly full speed, reasonably confident that we wouldn't accidentally stab, scorch, or shoot one another. As an added bonus, everyone reported multiple skill increases to boot.
Lyrian, I see you have taken a liking to my practice field,
the Bond's voice called out at the end of a drill.
Perhaps my lessons yesterday weren't wasted on you after all.
Good morning, sir,
I greeted the knight as we broke formation, all happy for a bit of a break.
We still need quite a bit of practice, but we're getting there.
The Bond had brought a small entourage with him to the practice field this morning, the same group of militiamen from yesterday, as well as a much healthier-looking Natasha. A slight wince passed across Alduin's face as he heard my greetings.
Please, just Alduin, or even Frederick, if you prefer. This is a frontier village, after all. We have far too much work to do than worry about silly honorifics all day.
I sensed there was a great deal more behind those words than the Bond was letting on, but I nodded in agreement. There would be another time to find out more about Alduin's history. At the moment, though, he was absolutely right. There was a ton of work to do.
We didn't have a chance to meet everyone yesterday, but these are my friends, I quickly introduced everyone as they stepped forward to shake hands.
After our sparring wound down yesterday, the Bond had retreated to his study, even having his meal sent up to him. Though, seeing Natasha here, it now occurred to me that he may have been keeping her company.
It's good to see you on your feet, Natasha. Are you feeling better today?
I noticed that the dark-haired novice seemed a little cautious at meeting everyone all at once, and stepped to the side as everyone continued with their greetings.
Good morning, Lyrian.
She smiled at me with a nod, looking more comfortable talking to someone she knew.
Ah, yes, I feel like my old self again. Sheely has been taking great care of me.
I'm happy to hear that, I said honestly, as I looked back at the party. It seemed Drace had quickly hit it off with the Bond and militiamen, having formed their own semicircle as they spoke. Caught between two groups, Sierra and Halcyon gradually began to edge their way towards us as they debated which conversation to join.
So what are your plans now? Are you going to set off looking for your comrades?
Well, I want to, but Alduin doesn't seem to think I should.
Natasha's demeanor became visibly frustrated as she spoke.
And truthfully, I don't even know where to begin looking.
What do you mean?
Sierra asked, having turned her full attention to our conversation.
I don't remember where our camp was,
Natasha admitted with a frustrated sigh.
We spent days trekking through the forest, and when the goblins attacked in the middle of the night, I couldn't even tell you what direction I ran in, thanks to the trees. I just grabbed the first backpack I saw and ran into the night once I saw they were taking prisoners. I didn't even get a chance to open the pack before I got caught by those spiders,
Natasha said as she gestured to me.
If it wasn't for Lyrian, I would have ended up as spider food.
We? You were with others?
Halcyon joined in on the conversation, having shifted over from the other conversation.
Sorry for interrupting.
Oh, no worry.
I was part of an Iberian Mages Guild expedition exploring the area, Natasha explained to Halcyon, shrugging off his interruption.
I don't really know too much about it. The expedition leader, Adept Donovan Kane, kept referring to a ruptured ley line and was trying to find a ruin that the Surveyor's Guild casually noted a few months back in a report.
A ley line?
Sierra repeated.
I don't do magic, what's that?
I'm not sure. Something magical?
Can't be any good if it's ruptured, though. Natasha shrugged. It's like a magical pathway, I said. Probably not a good thing if it's ruptured.
Definitely not a good thing if it's ruptured, Halcyon exclaimed.